the way the liturgical year is organized, we have the great seasons, Advent, and then Lent, then Easter season, all the way up to Pentecost. And then we have the rest of the time, which is called the seasons, or days throughout the year, used to be called ordinary time. And then there is the cycle of readings that go with that. So we picked up now, we had 7 Sundays, 7 weeks, between the end of Christmas time and the beginning of Lent. And so we pick up at the 8th week of the year. That's where we are now. That's why we start in the middle of everything. We start at Sirach 17 and Mark 10, because that's the cycle that we're in, you see. Now, you may recall then, back 2 or 3 months ago, we're in the middle of Mark right now. The section that we're in is structured by the 3 predictions of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And he's given 2. He'll give another one soon. And we're in the section where Mark has collected the teaching of our Lord, community life, on life. So we had the question of divorce and children. And now we have wealth. What does our Lord tell us about wealth? He tells us it's very dangerous. Now, what is wealth? See, the average, whatever you want to call us, person, you know, right now, we're very wealthy compared to most of the world. We're very wealthy. Where we live, we're, you know, lots of people wealthier than we are. And living in this lifestyle, we could just about make ends meet. Of course, we could wonder why we're living this lifestyle. But these are the words of the Son of God. And it would be really worth pondering them today. There's one line in there that's addressed clearly to every one of us. Huh? You lack one thing. Well, what do you lack? What does the Lord see in you that you lack, that he'd want changed? Now, the teaching is clear. There's a distinction between entering eternal life or inheriting eternal life and what the Lord is asking of this man. Though when our Lord gets down to giving a description of it, he says, you see, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now, is that another distinction? That is, somebody who's doing their best, you know, and but not serious, but living a morally, generally upright life, they might enter eternal life, but they wouldn't be in the kingdom of God. He distinguishes between the kingdom, the text distinguishes between the kingdom of God and eternal life. Certainly these basic commandments are, as one of the great commentators of the Old Testament once said, the Ten Commandments mark the edges. You go beyond that and you fall out of humanity. You're just not human anymore. If you murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witnesses, defraud, and fail to honor your father and mother, you've just fallen off the edge of humanity. You're not human anymore. And so the Ten Commandments mark out the boundaries. In here is humanity. Out here is non-humanity. And if we are destroying our humanity, we will not have eternal life. And that's what the Son of God is certainly telling us. Now we come to this second part. He said to his disciples, and the fellow, this is, by the way, it's the only time in the Gospels where our Lord says something and it doesn't happen. Be clean, he's clean. Follow me, they follow. The only time that our Lord speaks and it doesn't happen is here. The obstacle? Wealth. Comfort. Extraordinary. So then Jesus looks around because he's concerned about his disciples. And he gives us teaching. How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. How the disciples were amazed at his words for several reasons. One is, the idea of the kingdom of God, you see, is still quite new. It means entering into this realm where God and eternal life and the body of Christ are the greatest realities. And if you're hanging on to a lot of money, you may not get in there. You might get saved in the long run, but you would not be living in this world and having all the advantages of having been so formed that for eternity you are different. We somehow think of life as sort of pass-fail, you know. It's not. It's not just, it's important pass-fail, of course. But that's not it. Huh? Do you realize that if we were all to get to all become saints, that the whole universe would be happier for all eternity? It's not just pass-fail. Because it's a mystery of love. So, if I arrive at heaven, having let the Lord completely purify me, like really holy, the whole heaven is better off. Interesting, isn't it? Of course, we're very individualistic, so we're thinking, I want to make it. Well, it's not dumb to want to make it. But what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is much more than that. And it starts here in sort of icon. You know? And that icon is the church. Imperfect icon. Once in a while, you know, a place where it's not. If we were to all answer Jesus today and from now on, we would be living in a beautiful realization of the kingdom of God. And people would see it and say, there is a God. And many would say, I want to be part of that. Well, it's a cinch. So, the issue today in our Lord's teaching is wealth. Now, before we look at our own lives, look at the disparity between what we have and what's going on in the Sudan or so many other places. And, you know, there was a time when we could say, yes, we have the wealth that we could share, but we have no means of getting it over there. And that's just not true anymore. We could empty out our grain bins and get it over there in 2 days. What we lack as a nation, as a world, as a person, is the will. It's an effort. And we're strange people. Dag Hammarskjöld once said, did you ever notice? During the war, people would line up for blocks just to get a pound of sugar. You may not remember that. But whoever lines up to give blood? Now, blood is more important than sugar. Could be somebody's life. And so, this text is indicating to us an attitude. And our Lord says, now look out, huh? It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. To be part of this now and forever. Does that mean the same as saved? It's hard to know what our Lord means here in that sense. But there is one thing that's clear, I think, for us today. It wouldn't hurt to give away a little something today. And also, to pray. This is the day, this is Memorial Day. Give a little time, a little effort to pray for peace today. You see, we say in this prayer, help us to work without ceasing for peace. That's not what it says. It says, help us to work without ceasing for that justice, without which there won't be any peace. Justice. Does that only mean social justice? No, but it does mean that. It means justice. There's a, you know, the work of justice is to bring about peace. It's a phrase of St. Augustine's. How are we unjust? The way we don't treat one another well, the way we talk about one another, you see, besides the way we don't share what we have. Peace will only come with justice. It won't last without it. And that's why this prayer, I used to always say, well, this is a modern prayer and they're concerned only about social justice, but that's not what it says. It just says, help us to work without for that justice without which brings true and lasting peace. That's the justice we're supposed to work for.